This episode of The Instance is brought to you by Audible. We love Audible. Right now, they got this amazing deal on R.A. Salvatore Audible Books. You know you love him, the D&D stuff, right? Go to audible.com/wizards to get your hands on that. If you want a free audiobook from us, that's easy, too. Audible.com is the place to go. And the link to use is audiblepodcast.com/wow. So don't forget, audible.com/wizards. Or audiblepodcast.com/wow.
We will never be slaves! You're listening to The Instance.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to The Instance. This is The Instance, episode 376 for Friday, August 15th, 2014. It's a big week, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Scott Johnson, and that's Dills. Hello, Dills.
Hello, Scott.
It's good to have you here, as always.
It's good to be here. I had to restart some things, but I think everything's working.
Everything's
now.
Good. You sound fantastic.
Still testing.
Kind of. I'm a little aroused by how well you how good you sound right now.
Oh, well then.
Also, Terpster coming on back from his big family vacation trip thing. He's back, man. How's it going? How you doing?
Great. Yeah. Great. Just fantastic. Drove all day today just to get back for this. Yeah. Just purely because of yesterday. Mm. Really? I couldn't miss it. Yeah. I'm so excited. Yeah. So excited!
This is a great little forum for us to talk about all the business that happened yesterday. The horde-heavy day of Cavalcade of Stars over there at Blizzard there in L.A. We'll get to all of that in the news because there's plenty to cover there. And we'll talk about our impressions of the cinematic, what we think about the release date, some of the other things that have been revealed both there and at Gamescom. I mean, in a way, I'm glad you had that trip because you didn't go to Gamescom, which means we wouldn't have been able to talk to you today because you'd probably be on stage right now with that Yogg's thing.
Cool. Yeah, but that would have been really cool. And I would have got a chance to talk to like Tom Chilton and find out even more secrets.
Because he could have got the inside scoop.
He's just been giving so many scoops out. He's like the ice cream man. Mm. And he's like one scoop or two. And he says, lol, just joking. Here's eight scoops.
Right.
And he's like, ah, I got so many scoops. It just feels like good value.
Yeah. I'm a little surprised.
I always have Chilton's ice cream.
That sounds like a real brand. Yeah. It sounds like a real brand.
Mm. I would, I'll go for a Blizzard, please.
I would argue that they are giving out more info that Gamescom than they have at any other thing so far this year about Warlords of Draenor, which really kind of surprised
me. I think
me.
It's because they don't know. They haven't known for the whole year, like when they're going to put
it out.
Yeah,
they finally know stuff.
And now
they're like,
okay, well, it's going to be November 13th. Yeah. So what's going to be done by then?
Yeah.
And then it's like, okay, cool. Well, let's just tell everyone about this.
Yeah.
Because I feel really bad. All the negative stuff that's come out after the announcement has all been because Blizzard told us stuff before they would have previously told us stuff.
Yeah.
And now it's stuff like, oh, so we're not getting, you know, that zone at launch. We're not getting those races updated at launch. We're not getting this until a later patch. Mm-hmm. You know, and it's the sort of thing where people are like, oh, this is bad. You know, and it's because, you know, previously Blizzard just wouldn't have told us anything.
Right.
And we would have been theory crafting around like, oh, I wonder what this is. And so there's always going to be that balance when, you know, when they open things up.
Think they'll get better in the future at coming out early and saying, we are trying to do all the new races, but we're not sure we're going to get to every one of them in time. And
I think
that's
it's
enough.
Tricky. Exactly. I think it's really hard for them to kind of make an exciting message where they're like, yo, this is great. But at the same time, preface it with, but it might not actually happen.
Mm.
You know, I think that's always the tricky balance.
Yeah.
Well, we're also not used to them giving us so much so early, you know, so we might have different expectations about when the announcements come and when the games come. Everything's supposed to be done, and Blizzard it's a brave new world where they're like telling us all this stuff early and being really communicative, and we're just not used to it. So we're expecting, oh, the fool, everything's got to be done by the time the game comes out, right? Because that's Blizzard.
Yeah,
but they're like, I would rather the game come out on November 13th. Then wait.
I'd rather
December
it comes out
and
tomorrow.
Have a couple more things.
Sure.
Yeah. I would have it now. Let's play it. Let me start leveling. Let me play through the beta, but as it persistent. You know, I just want it, and I always want stuff. I'm terrible at waiting. I'm not
You're not a very patient man, no.
No.
But if they did put it out today, you'd have just umpteen million players who are, you know, super big on the whole server first and world first and everything first thing that would be just complaining to high heaven that they couldn't get to their the final boss of whatever wing of whatever thing they're going to put in there as quick as humanly possible. And I know they pace a lot of that stuff out. And of course, we don't get, you know, the third major patch that has the big final baddie in it until way down the road. But they want it. If they're going to get it, they're going to want everything possible that's there. So Blizzard having to backpedal on a few features, you're right, would have been behind closed doors and would have never been a public thing in the first place in older expansions.
Because previously, if you think back to kind of previous examples, it would be like flying combat in Wrath of the Lich King.
Yeah, or Dance Studio.
In Burning Crusade. Yeah, there were headline things that they told us before, but they were singular things.
Yeah.
And now, because they told us about so much of their plans, as that's evolved, and as, say, like, garrisons have evolved to be as they are now versus how they were envisaged to begin with, you know, it's all one of those things that is always tricky for Blizzard in terms of, you know, communicating, this is what we want to make, but at the same time, reminding people that they have an iterative style of development that means that they make that, then they actually find out that's crap, and that they make it again, and they're like, oh, this is much better, this version,
mm-hmm.
or this one fits in, or is actually more manageable, and it means we can make these other three things, whereas if we made it how we were going to do, we could only make the one. You know, all of those sorts of things. It's just very hard when you put it out to the internet as this big echo chamber of negative voice. You know, it's always hard to kind of make sure that they're aware of the realities mm-hmm. and the context yeah. of all of that.
And their iterative nature goes against, or it seems to kind of go against that that openness in a way, because they have to be able to still retain their policy and internal culture of, if it's not working, we toss it, or if it's not working, we revamp it or redo it, or if it's not as polished as we need it to be, we delay it. Those kinds of things still exist at Blizzard, and I hope they always do, because it's what produces great content and great games. But it does seem to kind of grind against the new openness of Blizzard as well. Like that part, I want that part. We want that part as people who cover this and are interested in this on all kinds of levels, but even down to a player who just wants to play the game. You still want Blizzard to be open. You just have to measure that and say, well, okay, well, what does this openness mean? It means we are getting a better peek at how the sausage is made. And sometimes the sausage falls on the floor, the machine breaks. They decide they're going to go with a whole new flavor of sausage. You know, somebody accidentally put more bones in the sausage than they meant to. Like, we're going to see some of that. And
yeah, you see the rat that went down the sausage machine and fell in. You're like, oh, man.
Yeah, right?
Man, I enjoyed those sausages. Though. I didn't know that I liked rat. Now I don't feel as good.
You're like, yeah, but it's so good. I still want the sausage. I don't care.
And then there was some who want the rat to stay and are pissed that they took the
rat
out.
Yeah, like, can you get another rat in there, please? Yeah. It's not fair. I want more rats.
It's just it's just such a jumble. And I think they're finally getting their heads around being okay with that. Like, you know, I was telling Terpster before the show a little bit that I don't know why, but I started reading YouTube comments on the cinematic trailer.
Oh, God.
And that's so stupid. And part of it was me thinking, let's see how quickly this gets bad.
Racism got involved in the, I don't even know where they found that, but okay.
There were comments about elderly rape and,
what?
Yeah. That's what I'm saying. Like,
the internet.
Eventually it had nothing to do with the game or the trailer or anything. But what's great is sandwiched in between this horrific human display of terrible anonymity, there would be a tiny little morsel. A guy goes, this is really cool. I'm really looking forward to the expansion. And then buried again in all of these other comments about how Obama ate your kid or something. And you're just like, what are we doing here?
I love when someone says that they're excited for it and then they get slammed for being excited for it, because slamming the company's not enough. I also need to slam anybody who is excited.
I hate that you like it.
Yeah. How could you even like this? Yeah. Well, I don't know. I just do.
There are some interesting counterpoints to Blizzard's vision with that thing, which we'll get to in the news section and talk about whether or not there's validity to there's an entire focus on the Iron Horde here that doesn't, you know, previous to this you've got kind of a mix of things going on, although I'd say Wrath of the Lich King was clearly focused on the Lich King himself and his sort of risen minions, and there was no Alliance or Horde represented there, but you know, you can get into these crazy deep silly arguments about what Blizzard should or shouldn't do, and I have some thoughts on that. So we'll get to all that in a minute. But I've had no time to play the game that we're talking about here at all. That really, this last week, I played a little with my mage, hopped in, did some stuff, ran some dailies, got out. That was about it. Not a ton of stuff going on. Terpster, did you get any time on your trip? Like, you know, I don't know.
Sadly, not. No, again, I think I played a load of Hearthstone on my iPad, like hours and hours. I was basically up in like this weird old Tudor house in the middle of North Wales. Just, it had no phone reception at all. They had Wi-Fi that was intermittent, and watching yesterday's live stream on it was horrid because it would just keep dropping out. Yeah. And so halfway through the trailers, they were premiering, it just dropped out. And I was just like, no! And I was, you know, because I got all of like the guy from GameSpot talking about stuff. And I was just like, okay, I get it. You're from GameSpot. And then it just, they finally got around to, like, I watched all of the Lord of War bit and that was amazing. And then it cut out on the trailer and I was like, no, but then I watched it on YouTube and all was well. But yeah, I've been playing a lot of Hearthstone just purely because it's available on an iPad and that's easy to travel with. I've got a new shaman deck that uses reincarnation with all the death rattles in Baron Rivendare. And I try and play a Cairn Bloodhoof and Baron Rivendare reincarnate. And then I've got 3, 4, 5s on the board. And it's beautiful. When the stars align, the deck is amazing.
Mm. Are you doing with the shaman thing?
It's win rate is about 50.
It's not actually good, but sometimes it's amazing.
Exactly. It is. It's like sometimes it's just terrible. And other times it's legendary.
Are you doing the Earth Elemental with the Ancestral Spirit as well?
No, I don't have the Earth Elemental in there.
Oh, man. You got to go with that too, because.
But the thing is, I've gone for Thugin and.
You're doing Wigan and Stalag?
So I'm trying to get, you know.
It's just the dream deck is what it is.
Yeah,
yeah,
exactly. Okay. It's just that if either the dream align,
or a bunch of totems, and I never try anything good.
Exactly. It's like Exodia. It's just the chance that I win.
But when you win, it's in spectacular fashion. So
yes, exactly. Yeah. And it's a great way to play. But it does make me kind of really want something from WoW that works as a game component on my iPad.
Yeah.
And there is a mobile team within Blizzard, and it's something that Blizzard, I feel, should, because I've asked now many times, as have you, develop something that allows us to have some element of World of Warcraft available to us on the go. We've got the auction house.
Is that
that's
kind
not
of, right?
Kind of, but I would like to have that. Like, I think if
you want
if
to
they
affect,
just,
wow, yeah.
I want like pet battles. Or I want Hearthstone be a actual component or a rep or something in WoW. I want to be able to play a game, and when I come back to WoW, that character or that account on WoW has progressed.
Even if it is logging in and a big, beautiful bling, like an achievement style banner thing pops up and says, while you were away, you achieved whatever.
Well, but even then, like with garrisons and being able to send guys off on quests, having that as an iPad portal would be fantastic.
Yeah.
And being able to go in and check my dudes and go and run down that path. That would be amazing. Yeah. And to have that accessibility farming on the go.
Right.
They've got farming, garrisons, pet battles. There's so many things that have been introduced to the game that would be perfect on iOS. So, yeah, I totally agree. Let's make it happen, Blizzard.
Yeah.
I know you're not busy with anything else right now.
You ain't got shit going on.
I think ultimately, if you look at it purely from a cold business perspective, the cost of putting a team on that versus speculating on another game versus the return of producing something that Blizzard Warcraft players are going to play and, just invest time and money into, it's got to make sense to be the thing to do. So I don't know.
And we know, anyway, they got but they've got mobile projects underway that aren't Hearthstone. Yeah. So you have to think that they're going to do things that support they're going to best support what they're doing. Right. Like they're not going to make a mobile, they're not going to make a mobile, StarCraft Vespene gas earner thing, Clash of Clans style or something. Yeah. They're going to focus something on either WoW or something connected to possibly, Heroes could maybe do something or I don't know what else. But WoW makes perfect sense. Diablo maybe, but WoW, totally.
Yeah, I would like to see it. I would like to see exactly what Terps is talking about, which is the crossover into the games that already exist. But they could really do any of the games. They could find little things, little tasks for you to do,
yeah,
and have it just be kind of like your little Blizzard mobile experience, you know?
Right on.
But yeah, that'd be amazing. I just don't do like StarCraft workers barbershop thing or whatever, where you're clicking, you know, like, click on your guy and then tell him to go over here and drop off his gas. No, never do that, please.
Oh, I don't know though, dude.
Oh, Scott,
you know, like what was the time management genre that's kind of out of favor now?
You like those, actually.
I kind of do games. Like those.
I hate those games. I cannot do
Sally
it.
Sally Spa.
Yeah, Sally Spa, dude. Yeah. That's the one. That was the just granddaddy.
Oh my God, I love this so much. Oh, my pedicure machine. I need to upgrade this straight away.
I totally would play that. I think
that's great. And again, swap out the pedicure for you know, an
it's the Protoss pizza place.
No, I would love it. It would be great
if you made it well. I would sure as hell play that. Actually, I've told you what I want from Blizzard, and I would do this in a heartbeat. And so here's my secret wish as to what they're working on. And it may or may not have the impact on another game, like, you know, the way Terps are saying, have an impact WoW or something, but give me a World of Warcraft, you know, characters, story, lore, all that stuff, but give me a turn-based strategy game. And I realize Hearthstone is kind of that, but what I'm talking about is like Heroes of Might and Magic style, you know, turn-based grid, get them out there, you know.
I'd say Warcraft 2, Tides, or maybe Warcraft 3. Just make those on iOS.
But not, I don't want real time, though. I don't want real time.
Port it. That'd be easy. It'd be fine. Port it. Doesn't matter.
Port it and make it turn-based.
Yeah, okay. There you go.
It has to be turn-based or else it's too much.
It's too much for mobile. I think mobile really lends itself well to that thing.
The Final Fantasy Tactics style stuff is like exactly perfect.
Or just, dude, skin up freaking Rogue Legacy with WoW stuff and let me play that. Like, there are all kinds of opportunities to make lower impact, fun games with like lots of cool progression ideas and roguelike qualities and things like that. Just use your license and give me more. I'm ready. Protoss Pizza Place, man. I'm in.
Protoss Pizza Place.
Let's do it.
Dill's nailed it. So, Dill, speaking of you nailing it, you went and raided Nax like you promised last week. How did that go?
I did. Yeah. So I sent out the call in guild chat, and we got about 15 people or so. Garrett was along for the ride. We had a shoujo beat there.
Nice.
It was pretty fun. Yeah. It was all super quick. You just go in there and, you know, we pulled, we pulled patchwork before clear in the room. We were just, you know, none of it mattered. Grobulus, we were like, oh, he's still running up the steps. Go get him. You know, just him and all the giants in the room and stuff.
Yeah.
But it was really nostalgic and fun. And just seeing the inside of those places again brought back a lot of memories. So we ended up, after we did Nax in about 20 minutes, we did Olduar and TOC. We actually did have a level 80 with us, though, so he was stoked. He was getting all kinds of gear and stuff.
I bet he was, yeah.
And, and then we were going to do ICC as well, but we ended up, you know, that was a little bit of a long night. Oh, and we did Malagos, too.
Oh, so, no way.
Yeah,
Malagos at its height. What a freaking pain.
And we were doing
it
on 25, man. So doing,
because
like,
you
would have
got the key.
We did, like, I got so many new achievements. I think Shoujo got over 12,000.
Really easy fight now.
It's really easy. He dies before anything happens.
It's one of those things where you're like, oh, wait, was this the hard mode?
It was so difficult back in the day, but he just falls over now. But you still get the title for 25 man, which I didn't have, so that was cool.
All right, because we only did 10 when we did them before.
Yeah, we did 10 man, so we had whatever it was, Space Walker. I don't even remember now.
Space Walker McGillicuddy.
Star Caller.
Yeah. Star Lord. Yeah. No, that's
Star,
not it.
Star Lord. Yeah,
Star Lord. You're the Guardian.
That's it.
Get the Chris Pratt achievement. Fantastic.
Yeah, the Chris Pratt title. Exactly. Yeah. So that was tons of fun, and I want to do more of that because it was just a really good time, and it's really easy to put together. So if you're in guild chat and I put the call out, you should come along, anybody out there listening.
I want to do that again. I really wanted to do it then. In fact, had I known, I would have just hopped in there. That sounds like fun. I really wanted to see this stuff again, like you're saying. Just go in there and go, oh, yeah, remember this? Oh, dude, the freaking pipe. If you stayed in that pipe too long, you'd die, but now who cares? And
Nobody cares now. Yeah, but it was. I mean, like, we were purposely running into the little slimes after patchwork to see if they kill us, you know?
Yeah, they weren't doing anything.
they did nothing. The funny thing, though, is that the slime and the, you know, the slime running along the ground,
yeah,
that stuff still take, it used to take half of your health when it was, you know, 40,000 or whatever. Now that it's 110,000, still takes half.
Yeah, yeah.
So that's been buffed. Yeah.
That's weird.
Percentage-based pain.
Yeah. But it was really fun. So anybody who hasn't done that stuff, I recommend go back and just do it just for fun. It's just so cool. It's, I mean, we spent so much time in Old War and stuff, and we were doing all the hard modes. So
yeah. Yeah.
It was excellent.
It is definitely worthwhile going back and playing through old content if mm-hmm. you didn't get a chance to before, because it's so cool.
And even if you did, there's just such nostalgia in there. You had so many fun times. Like
I was on the WoW Reddit the other day, and someone was talking about how they had spent so much time playing WoW, and they wrote this really long story, and this would have been good for like an R best of or something like that, because mm-hmm. it was actually really cool. So he wrote this whole thing about how he loved playing WoW. He's 30 now, and he has a house and kids, and he has to not play anymore.
Right.
But his final, he canceled his sub, and as his last act, he went and soloed Karazhan and went up to the top and, you know, killed the final boss and then sat there. And then the pop-up came up that said, "Your game time is about to run out." And then he cried.
Dude, it ran out while he sat there? That's insane.
Yeah. While he sat there at the top of Karazhan, remembering all the times they, struggled to beat all these bosses and stuff. Now he's soloing it.
Wow.
And turned it off. And then he said, World of Warcraft forever, but never again, or something like that.
Oh, man. That's intense. That's intense.
I get it. I feel you.
I feel you, buddy.
But all except right. for me, it's still WoW.
Well, tell me about your real quick, because some people were concerned about your motorcycle going away. I hear you got a car. What'd you do?
I did. I bought a vehicle, a car, actually, this time. Mm. So as some of you know, my motorcycle got hit and the damage was enough that they weren't going to fix it. So
that was the end. Yeah.
Yeah.
Were you on it when it got hit? I forgot to ask you that.
No, I was not on it, thankfully. All right. It was parked. And I actually was worried that because I wasn't there, I wasn't going to get any kind of settlement. Yeah. But it was easy. I just did the thing. They cut me the check, and now I have a car. So awesome.
Oh, wow.
You insurance?
What'd you end up with? What is it?
I got a little Ford Focus. I just need a small car.
Nothing wrong with the Focus, dude.
Yeah.
I like how a Focus is a small car for you guys as well. That's amazing.
Well, I have
over
a Ford.
Here, that's a family car. That's a big car.
I got a Ford Fiesta, the little one, the one just below
Fiesta's
that.
Fiesta's a small one. Yeah. That's getting there.
Reliable as hell and back, those things. The Fords in the last 5, 6 years have been insanely great. So
I figure I play Hunter, I should use Focus,
Right?
Yeah. I feel like exactly. I feel like that makes sense. Bringing it, stick to the topic, damn it, because I think we should only drive cars that can be somehow tenuously linked into Warcraft.
Source. Yeah, exactly.
That would be good.
I like that idea. What else? Are there others? There's
There's no mana out there.
No, but there's the Accord. The 25 man team needs to be in accord with one another while fighting the boss. There, see, you got that. I can't think of
that works.
They don't have any runes or runic power out there.
Well,
anywhere,
you could say, I've played a warrior. Warriors use rage. My car is considered by many to be an average card. I think it's not great. It's not bad. It's average.
Does anybody make an RNG? Nobody makes an RNG, right? That'd be cool.
An RNG.
Like a random number generator. That'd be cool.
No.
Can't think of
one. RNGO. Maybe you can get that.
RNGO,
see? That could work.
Yeah. But yes, I now have a car, which means I get to go places and do stuff that require, yes. Cool. I can carry things. I went shopping.
Yeah.
It was amazing. I bought food for my house.
Amazing. I can live now.
Bag. Yeah.
Parking in San Francisco. Good luck with
parking
that.
Parking in San Francisco sucks, but that's why I got the small car.
Right.
The small family car.
Quote unquote. Well,
okay, cool. Well, it's not like much happened this week.
No, there's really not much at all. Let's just launch into it and see if we can scrape something off the bottom of the barrel here.
Big news of the week.
Big news.
All right, let's talk about the freaking cinematic.
We will never be slaves!
Oh, I'm not so sure about that, Gromash.
Gromash.
Let's talk about...
Gromash, you yelled that, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, not remind me, but... Okay, so there was a little kerfuffle from me personally yesterday. I had it in my head that wasn't Gromash helping him. I thought that was some other dude. And in my head, his name
is a dude.
His name was the name of Gromash's axe.
Korhal.
Yeah, so I said, you guys, I said something I don't remember now, something on Twitter like, hey, what do you think of Korhal or Hell Hal or whatever the hell it is, helping out his good buddy, you know, like it was like some weird
well, in
story.
In all fairness, Korhal did help out Grom.
Yeah.
By, you know, I, my favorite tweet was score update, Korhal 2, Pit Lord 0. it's just. That's like when they Manoroff, the Pit Lord, no matter exactly Manoroff, no matter themselves. which you know reality timeline he's in,
yeah.
He gets owned by that axe.
Both times.
And I loved that callback, and everyone did
when he's standing in the flames.
Where,
and
you've got that exact same shot from Warcraft 3, where Grom's standing there after having done the final blow, and the difference this time though is Grosh diving in and saving his dad.
Yeah. Elsewise, we'd have had the same result as the old one.
Well, we'd had a very similar one, potentially.
Similar, yeah. It would have been slightly different because he didn't drink the stuff, right? So
that's the whole thing is that, and I mean, I think firstly, like, Gul'dan looked amazing.
Oh, incredible.
Yeah. I mean, what a dick, though.
What a dick.
Insane.
He's such a dick.
You know, he's not
he's already
very slick,
corrupted.
Is he?
He's not. No, the thing
he's
is.
He's not very
is
slick because when they asked him, you know, what's this going to cost me? He could have been like, not much. You know, it's fine. Just have a little bit. Don't worry about it.
Instead, he tells the truth. Everything.
Really? But, well, I'm not going to have it now. So.
But, Connor, what you got to remember is that at that point, he already knew that he wasn't going to drink it.
Yeah.
You know, they already had the siege engine, they already had the Iron Star, they already had, you know, Grosh standing by, ready to yell, no! Sort of thing, yeah.
So, Terpster, was him asking that question, was that already changing?
Purely just for shits and giggles, I believe. I think he was just saying, what would this cost? And he's like, we will never be slaves, sort of thing.
They're filling in stuff that just didn't exist in that early lore, really. I mean,
it's assumed. In Rise of the Horde, if you read Rise of the Horde, you'll see how it happened first time around.
Yeah.
And the reality is that, Gul'dan says, look, this will give us the strength we need to defeat our enemies, who at the time are the Draenei. And then from that, they go on to run through the dark portal and become the Legion's weapon.
Yeah.
Obviously none of that's going to happen anymore. Well, that's the cool thing. So it gets real wibbly wobbly timey wimey stuff. Really,
when
you're
back to the future mode right now, where
it's weird because it's a different reality. To me, I start wondering, like, why does the Black Prince want to save our version of time when they can go along and there's another version of time? Like, surely it's just, why come to our one?
Time travel screws up everything. It just does.
But it's always a tricky thing. And I think, Blizzard needs to have some reason why that Iron Horde needs to come back to our Azeroth. And equally, our Azeroth, once the Alliance is formed and already strong, and the Horde equally is formed and strong, why not go just through the dark portal as it would have been and take the human kingdoms down like the original Horde did? The Alliance of Lordaeron wouldn't have been formed at that point in time, so you just run through. You've already got Grosh, who knows the geographic layout of the towns and how to hit people, and he's got this advanced technology and stuff. It does get weird, and ultimately the reason is Blizzard wanted to bring back all of these cool characters.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, Ner'zhul, we're going to meet Ner'zhul. He is the original Lich King.
Yeah.
What does this mean? Can we make a new Lich King from this expansion? Will that be our next expansion?
Mm.
Will we have a good Lich King versus a bad Lich King? Will we have Ner'zhul somehow get put into Bolvar's body? And, is that going to change something?
Yeah, forget Bolvar's still hanging out up on the throne and stuff. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Do we want to have two orcish end bosses, or for the next one, are we going to have a dragon? Are we going to have the Lich King again? What's going to be, where are they going to take the game from this?
Yeah.
And I think that it's so cool to see how
it can go in 50 directions at this point. And I think that's their whole point.
The time thing opens up, though. It just allows them to really do anything.
Yeah. Also, it's got to be a little bit of a headache for them to figure out how to make it. I guess, though, when you talk about stories that involve time travel, you can't get too hung up on the details of how it actually works, right?
Right.
Like, if you got too hung up on how did how did Kyle Reese spawn John Connor when he got sent back by John Connor, then you don't really even have the Terminator, yeah, right?
Terminator like, stuff so, is so janky. Yeah, so bad.
you just gotta say whatever.
It was destiny.
It's fine.
Exactly. Yeah. And I think that's the cool thing though, is time travel is clearly established in World of Warcraft. You know, there's a whole dragon flight.
That's true. About we've had time travel for a while.
It's always been there. So it's just kind of cool now that we don't have the aspects and the infinite dragon flight's doing its thing. It is kind of cool.
Yeah, Caverns Caverns of Time was interesting because that was more like a portal into history, but it wasn't a altered history. It was just, hey, we can go do the things and see the things that came before.
But at the same time, it was actually about fixing other people from meddling in history and ensuring that the history we remembered remained as it would.
Yeah.
Whereas now we're having people meddling in an alternate history that isn't affecting our history, but is going to affect our present.
Yeah.
And that's where it gets a bit weird.
Yeah.
It's not alternate until he goes in and does stuff. Now, all of a sudden, we've split off into a different timeline because this didn't happen the way it originally
happened. Exactly. And so it looks like it's 35 years in the past, and then it's you know, Grom had enough time to get to know Garrosh for them to build new technology to be able to then defeat Manoroth and not drink the blood. But then they're also constructing the dark portal, so they're getting that ready.
Plus, didn't he bring that big ball that you have to fight in the curtain garage fight?
That he taught them how to make that.
That's okay. An iron star. Yeah. So that
they didn't know how to make before.
That thing is badass and in cinematic glory, man. Holy crap!
It's very cool, and it's really fun to see how they all relate. And I mean, firstly, Grom Hellscream with pierced teeth, like tusks.
Yeah.
Man, that makes my teeth hurt just seeing it.
And he is different than the old Grom and the old cinematics in Warcraft 3. It's just so much more animalistic, so much more. I mean, the detail and the intensity of this entire intro is kind of beyond anything they've done. And it's not even all that violent compared to other stuff, but it feels so much more.
Well, there's a lot of impact to the blow.
Yeah. So intense. And some of the just little nuances, like when he turns to Gul'dan and says, you know, what do we lose, or, you know, if I drink this or whatever, there's a couple of moments where his face just kind of tightens and twitches. It's real small stuff, but it so speaks to how far they've come and how artistically they've surmounted this technology and made it look so amazing. I mean, nobody's doing this. Nobody, you can say, oh, Blur Studios and all these other guys, but nobody in-house is doing their own games the way they're doing their cinematics. It's not even a competition.
What I would love to know is how long did this actually take? At what point do they agree that this is the story? This is what's going to happen? Mm. Because, you know, were they making this at BlizzCon last year? Did they start then? Did they start earlier? Are they already now working on expansion 6? Mm. You know, what how does it all fit together?
Yeah.
You know, it's truly amazing to know how long this takes. I mean, this is a good 3.5 minutes worth of cinematic quality.
It's amazingly done.
And
it's
just, you know, I would love to see a feature length one of this.
Oh my God.
I don't know. Well, here's the thing. Possible. How could they do it? Yeah. I've seen so many people say, oh, why don't they just make a movie of this, and we've said it here, but when you really start to think about how much goes into just like 3.5 minutes.
Yeah.
Now we're talking 90 minutes of that. And that's like a 10-year project, you know?
Well, so here's this, I'm trying to make sure this video doesn't play. Hold on a second. Okay. There we go. Don't play. So according to GameSpot.com, they say it takes a year.
Okay.
And now if it takes a year and they just launched this, then they predated BlizzCon by, you know, 3 or 4 months when they started this thing. So to answer your question, Terpster, it sounds like they had these core story elements in place
I think they knew this story, right? At least kind of. And then maybe like they fill in some details. But this event here, this, you know, was the beginning. So this was known a while ago. So yeah, a year ago makes total sense.
Yeah.
Because this being the like initial moment that kind of swings everything. That had to be known, and then it sets off a bunch of other stuff into motion. But I just want to point out one other thing too about these Blizzard cinematics and stuff, and just the world of Warcraft here, is that orcs are my favorite. But orcs in WoW are so much different than orcs in any other genre or canon or whatever, like where
like fantasy
orcs
world
are not just dumb brutes, you know, they're intelligent and they plan things out and they have like they're you know articulate and it's
they may
awesome.
Be they may be kind of savage and warlike, but they've got they're nuanced, savvy, yeah.
But they're an intelligent species that has a you know a goal and everything. They're not just you know you look at orcs and other stuff and they're just these big dumb whatever and you just yes make an army of these and send them out and do whatever.
Yeah.
And here they're you know like characters really matter and you've got good orcs and bad orcs and. It's awesome.
It's interesting is from a story perspective in this thing, it's definitely presented in a way that kind of sets up these two a little more heroically than you would. And I think actually that's why I was a little confused as to whether that
like
was
on your side for a moment.
Yeah, and, for a second you're like, wow, yeah, that was kind of badass. And the way that ended with Thrall and him in Warcraft 3 was kind of a heartbreaker. So when you see him kind of break free of that, that's all you are filled a little bit with, all right, I'm kind of behind these guys, but then you kind of forget. And this was confirmed by Tom Chilton at Gamescom, and spoiler alert, but Grom is the boss, the final boss in this game.
Oh, yeah, spoiler alert, yeah. Anybody who doesn't want spoilers, by the way, why are you listening to
Yeah, what are you doing? This show's not for you.
We're going to spoil everything right
yeah,
now.
Yeah, may so. As well just know Sorry. That. But it's going to be him. So yep. He will be, for whatever reason. But here's what I suspect is going to happen. Or this is, maybe now that I know he's the boss, maybe I'm wrong.
Well, yeah, knowing that means you can kind of guess on what the turn
kind
of events
kind of, but in terms of, you tell me if you think I'm wrong, but there's, Blizzard likes, not stereotype storylines, but they like storylines that resonate with people, that they've felt it before or seen it before in other forums, and they like to make those moments kind of epic. But it wouldn't surprise me if this thing, the way Arthas ended, which was he's the ultimate evil until you strike him down, and now he's, you know, he's kind of, he's Darth Vader. He's kind of having a redemptive moment at the end, right? Mm-hmm. I see something similar happening when or with Grom and Garrosh, where he thinks his son is all on his side, and then at some point realizes, man, he's swung too far and has brought me into a situation that isn't going to get our goals. I see what horrible thing is happening over here. There's a spark of some good in him, and meaning in Grom, and there's going to be some sort of sacrifice, or you know, Garrosh is going to end up dying, or something weird's going to happen in that way. We're going to end up with like a father son bittersweet parable thing at the end of this thing.
But in reverse, like, so you're saying Grom is going to take the bullet basically to try to save Garrosh?
Yes, or he will see that his son is just a mess, and that yeah. this is all
but
gone
that,
wrong.
I can see that. Like he steps.
But why
in
are we kicking his ass?
Well, that's boss. My point. This changes my thinking a little, knowing that he's the end boss. So if that's the case,
well, again, my hope is that he is ultimately doomed to repeat the mistakes. Like you know, it's Gul'dan says about this is our destiny, and then you know. Marty McFly goes, you know, well, time's about to change, you know, and I think that it could, my hope is at least, is that actually destiny is destiny and that Grom is always meant to fall to corruption. Mm. And it was Thrall who gave him that opportunity to redeem himself. Mm. And I don't know, I kind of like the idea that he falls to corruption somehow, be it an old god, because God knows we love them. Yeah. Or again, hopefully, maybe the Legion, because I would love the next expansion to be the Legion returning and for us to have that big demonic battle.
I'm kind of into that too. Yeah.
And so like if he were to fall and become some super fell orc, you know, this hulking green monstrosity that we then put down,
yeah,
and he doesn't get a chance to redeem himself, and yeah, you know, that kind of Garrosh robs him of that redemption story,
yeah,
because he doesn't allow him to follow his path and make his own mistakes. I would love something like that.
Oh, hey, let me break in here real quick and talk about Audible.com. Don't worry, there's plenty more to come. Oh, man, Audible.com, always being there when you need your science fiction or your fantasy fix. That's the stuff I like. I mean, they're the leading provider of audiobooks. 150,000 titles across all types of literature, including the kind you like, science fiction, fantasy, and so on. They got a really cool offer right now going on right now. Here's what you got to do. Go to audiblepodcast.com/wow. And that's a place you can get a free book, right? That's our normal thing. But they also have a way for you to receive in the entire Dungeons & Dragons anthology for free. Okay? This is a big deal. For absolute free. You know R.A. Salvatore, right? You love his work. You can get the whole schmear for free by going to audible.com/wizards. That's audible.com/wizards. They're celebrating 40 years of elves, drow, halflings, witch hunters, all the stuff you love, man. Do you read any of that? I don't even know how you ever say it, but that Dritz, however you say his name. He's an amazing storyteller. This free offer is only good through the 18th of August, so you got to get on this right now. That's audible.com/wizards. Go check him out today. Thanks, Audible.
How about a Final Destination style thing where he was supposed to die, but he didn't die, so now like iron stars are like turning on automatically around him and right. trying to like kill that. Him. And
is things, this, yeah, like just his wyvern
random
run
axes
into a
are
wall.
Falling.
Sure,
yeah. sure. You know, exactly. Big. They're trying to build a portal, but just
close.
A big brick falls off the top. He's like, yeah, exactly. and he barely gets away over and over.
Yeah. I'm into this.
That could be good.
Yeah,
that could be
that's
good.
Not bad.
I think all of those things, it's exciting to see, and it's exciting to kind of pitch that story up there. But there was no doubt that during that mini BlizzCon, it felt like
it
yesterday,
really did, yeah.
That everyone was just captivated by that cinematic and just felt like, okay, November 13th, cool.
Yeah.
Can we have it now?
Yeah.
So, I mean, we'll have to see what happens.
Oh, the music's insane. Yeah. The music is so good. We got to get Russell on here and just talk about that damn music because they're just nailing it. I mean, here's
to be honest with you, I don't know. I felt like that Lords of War had even better sound
that
music
was
because
amazing.
It was, and I don't know if it's just because the animation was restricted to be more sort of simple scratches
stylistic
and tweens.
Yeah.
That you kind of notice it more.
Yeah. I loved that. Okay. Oh,
so
man.
Where does this one fall into all the cinematics? Where do you think this one?
If you had to compare them all?
I think it's right near the top. I think it might be the best.
It's right
one.
Up there. I'm a big.
So Arthas is always been my kind of favorite one. Mm. That whole Arthas cinematic with just, you know.
It was very abstract,
Dad
right?
Chatting in the background.
Yeah.
But I liked it.
I liked that a lot. Cool. That parable of the sun rising to glory and having it go the opposite but still be the thing his dad had predicted about his son is really powerful stuff. So I agree, that one's pretty good. But if I had to put them all up next to each other, I really, really like Burning Crusades. I always have. I would put Burning Crusade, this, and probably the Mist one up there in the top
like Mist,
three.
But Mist, now I think if you watch Mist, it does come across so much campier.
It is
for sure, no question.
It's campy and it's
And the thing is, it's like it could have, they could have camped at this one and literally had like when the axe goes into Manoroth's head, just the little thing comes up and it goes ding 2-0. there would have been ways to inject humor, but obviously they didn't because they wanted to keep it as
this
just,
is a much darker like, story.
Very self-serious,
this is where it's at. And it does set these guys up as menacing, but not nemesis.
No. It's very, I'll say, as a
threat, but not as an... Yeah, they want to come kick our asses. It's
I
like,
agree
oh,
with
cool.
that.
Okay,
I agree
yeah,
with
come,
that.
Come try it.
I think what's really striking is how risky this is, because this is something we're all appreciating on all kinds of levels because we get it. But this is not a mainstream thing. If you watch this cinematic as a just somebody, you're not going, oh, yeah, I know him and him and him, or I get this old story from Warcraft 3, or I get now the Divergent timeline. You're not thinking about any of that. You're just seeing it for what it is. And what it is just a bunch of angry orky dudes killing things. And I think it's risky, and I'm really glad they took the risk because this is what I want. I want them to not always go with, well, it's clear, Arthas the Lich King, well, that guy is totally, he's Darth Vader in this world. I get that. I understand that. Or this giant dragon, that seems bad. He's destroying everything. I get it. We got to stop him. Those things all make sense to a very wide mainstream audience. This is like all up in the Blizzard butthole. You know what I mean? Like there's nobody's grandma's watching this and going, oh yeah, this is the universal story. It's not. It's dangerous and it's risky and I love it. So I think that probably puts it at the top for me because yes, the animation's incredible and yes, the techniques are amazing and I mean, if I'm going to actually tell you my favorite Blizzard cinematic of all time, it's the fall of Tyriel, that moment where they're at the gravesite of Deckard King.
Yeah.
That particular chunk of stuff is my favorite thing they've ever done. But if I'm doing the Blizzard ones, this is probably it if I'm going to boil it all down and get honest, because it's that risk-taking in the story that makes me like it all the more. And on the technical end, yeah, it's incredible, amazing technical achievement. But from a story perspective, and them being willing to say we are going to get down to the bone of what we do, they haven't really done that in a while. And this feels like, you know, people get pandas, they get dragons, and they get Darth Vader, but they don't necessarily get this. And to me, that seems like a risk that'll pay off.
When you see Manoroth come out the first time, if you don't really know, if you're not a WoW lore person, then you're probably like, oh, what? Big guy? Okay.
Yeah, they don't know.
And you don't really understand why he's there and what. So why is drinking his blood do anything, or what is that? Yeah. They don't even say that it's his blood, and I don't know. It's just, it is, it's a little, I guess you could say, esoteric to people who don't pay attention to all the stuff. But for us, we know all the story because we, you know, kind of have to, but also because we're into it.
Yeah.
And it's all, it's just, it felt like one of those really satisfying moments where all the stuff kind of comes together and it's all explained right then and there, and you get it, and you see it, and you get it. Plus, there was big sweeping moments in this one, you know, Grom flying through the explosion to actually put the axe in the head. Like, that was so amazing. And then, of course, when you see the dark portal being built at the end, it's like,
that, oh my God, that the excitement was just such a moment, dude, because you see that thing and you go, I've seen that thing a billion times. You never, you don't really think of it in that way of the scale and the massiveness of it.
You've always seen it completed, you know?
Right. It's always been done. This is like the half-built Death Star you saw in trailers for Return of the Jedi when you were a kid. And you were like, oh my gosh, dude, they're making a new Death Star. It's like that feeling. And then the sense that it's just massive. And this huge, detailed, ornate thing. I mean, all those things are just such great details. And holy schmack.
I wasn't excited,
And how many people are like, oh, this does not know what the game looks like. Why are you so excited? People are missing the point.
But even then, if you want to see how good the game looks now, watch the Lords of War opening episode.
Yeah.
And the cinematic team using in-game assets do this amazing intro.
Was awesome. That was awesome.
With Varian and Vlad, and it's just like, there's just, it's so, so cool.
Yeah.
And it just reeks of epicness, but yet I would hope was quicker to make than that cinematic.
I would hope so, because I want more of it.
Exactly. And it's that thing where, like, this is a sustainable way to give us Blizzard's story that has the epicness and the great voice and the music and the visuals and everything on a more frequent basis.
Yeah.
And
they have this great way of, like, the whole Rise of the Shattered Hand, just so.
Yeah, that was awesome. Well, they're going to show us, like, how all of these warlords kind of come about as being where they were.
Original story I thought for the Shattered Hand was that they were slaves in mines, and that they were chained up in the mines working the rock, you know, mining away, and that they then chopped off their hands to escape. I didn't know it was a gladiatorial thing. It may be a change. It may be that I didn't pay attention.
If it's a change, it's a good one.
But I really like it.
And not even that they chopped their hands off. They smashed their hands with rocks.
Yeah, just destroyed them. It literally shattered their hands. Like,
oh, my God.
I know, so, dude. Yeah. It was intense, and the art is insane. I think it's the same. I can't remember her name, but I interviewed her on the show. I should remember this. But she did the art for the Hearthstone.
Gus came along and blew the Monkey King away.
Oh, wait. Yeah, that whole thing.
Yeah, that guy.
Plus the Hearthstone, everyone's gathered around the box art.
Yeah, Burdens of Showerhouse.
She's amazing. And if this is her again, I wouldn't be surprised. It's just incredible work. But yeah, I'm as excited about that as I have been anything. I'm glad that the Showerhouse thing worked out, because clearly this is on the tail of that. That was an experiment to see if people would be interested in this little extra thing. And
it got millions and millions and millions of views on YouTube. And
it's a great way to get the lore across to people without, you know, because nobody really reads. Well, some people do, but not everybody. I would say a large percentage of players don't read all the quest texts and stuff.
What would be better, though, is to put this in the game.
Yeah.
You know, to have a quest where it's like, you know, because in the opening quest experience, spoilers, you go in an arena where Kargath is like, you have to kill 100 orcs, otherwise you're not getting out of here.
Yeah.
And, you know, fortunately you've got, like, you know, a team of badasses featuring, like, Thrall and just the dream team.
Yeah.
And
I have Henry, so F it.
But then, exactly, but you know, he still tries to kill you anyway, but you kind of run away, cause a cave in behind you. But it's funny to see how he, after being subject to that, looks to subject you to it, and you know, it's really cool to have that perspective on these guys that you were facing and how it is. The only shame is obviously because of the level of quality and production that's gone into this, there's only four.
Yeah.
And I would love to have all of the warlords displayed and defined in this way, but instead they've gone for, you know, Kargath because, let's face it, he's really cool.
Yeah, he's badass.
You know, Grommash because Grom's the big boss. Durotan because it's Thrall's dad. We want to find out about him and his wife and how they interact and why he is different from the other warlords.
Yeah.
And then I think the last one was it Ner'zhul?
Or
was
it,
yeah. And so Ner'zhul obviously
is it? Wait.
Oh, is it? Who's in the
I forgot now.
The teaser. They go through it all in the teaser.
Yeah.
But
damn it. We'll have to maybe the chat room knows. I can't remember.
Oh, it was Kilgath, Bloodeye, Black Eye. What, Kilrog?
Oh, Kilrog. Right. Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah, Deadeye. And so he as well is a kind of a shaman warlock hybridy type person. And you get the Eye of Kilrog is a warlock spell, and he's a shaman who dabbles more in that demonic art. And Kilrog and Gul'dan and Ner'zhul are all of these sort of more shadowy orcs. And then you've got the more brutal, visceral, you know, Kargath and Grommash. And I think, you know, it's going to be really exciting to see how all these episodes kind of go on and continue.
Yeah.
And I would love to see it like a second season.
Oh, dude. You know? Totally into it.
That would be amazing.
Totally into it. They're nailing it. Now, quick, I just want to address this point before we move on. A lot of criticism out there from, you know, a bunch of Alliance, really, that there is zero Alliance, which I would argue, well, all right, well, this is 35 years earlier. There was no Alliance. And also they're on a planet where the Alliance doesn't exist. Well, then they say, well, what about the Draenei? Well, they're currently enslaved and being treated pretty badly. And I suppose they could have had something to do with this intro, but they're not there either. And people have a problem with that. Some have said, hey, there are gnomes in it. They're just skulls wrapped around the neck of Gul'dan, which is possible. but the biggest complaint has been that, hey, didn't Metzen get up at BlizzCon and say, this next expansion is an Alliance expansion? It, you know, I can see their point here.
He also said, you're not going to fight just an orc. It's not just, the end boss isn't going to be just another orc.
Yeah.
And it's because, you know, Grom isn't just another orc.
Yeah.
He's like, he is a big deal. Like, he's the guy who freed them from their bloodlust and their corruption.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, people want to have some variety or perceived variety. And I think that actually now that Chilton's come out saying that Grom's going to be the nemesis, they almost want to start kind of, without ruining the story, kind of giving some hint as to how it's going to be different to Garrosh. You know, is he not going to have three phases in which the last one he's some big hulking corrupted monstrosity? And at the end of it, you know, Jaina's going to talk about dismantling the Iron Horde, and Varian's going to say, actually, good call, Jaina. I like that. That's a good shout. Let's do that.
Yeah.
You know, and then suddenly a big infernal crashes in and the Legion's here.
Yeah.
You know, like, you know, how is it going to be something more?
Hopefully Anduin turns into a corrupted mass of flesh and they have to fight Anduin.
Yeah, I don't think they could ever corrupt Anduin. I think he's the uncorruptible.
Hello, everyone.
You know, golden child.
Hello.
Yeah, I agree. Maybe whatever. But their point, I think, is taken. I think there's something to the idea, at least so far, until we see all these details. This feels like a very hoardy expansion.
It does now, but we don't know. I mean,
we really don't know. But if this is what you present, it feels very hoardy.
Yeah.
Alongside this cinematic, they also put together a in-game kind of highlight showing like Frostfire Ridge, showing like the Nagrand, showing, you know, all of these different zones, and they all look amazing.
It looks great.
They are all phenomenal. They talked a little bit about Ashran, this PvP zone where you can loot
players. Oh my god. Kill. Thank you.
Like, that is huge.
Yeah, you're looking forward to that, dude.
That's going to get massive. 30 copper. I'm going to get stuff that matters.
It's like, awesome. And the thing is, and equally, like, if you are going to the vendor and you have saved up all of your things, that journey to that vendor is gonna be crazy.
Yeah.
Like, how are you gonna survive? You're gonna have to get your guild in, be like, guys, I'm gonna go get the mount. It's like 20,000 of these things. You need to have my back. Okay. Or if that guy kills me, we need to kill him and I need to loot him because I need that. I mean,
that's pretty exciting.
It's one of the most hardcore things that Blizzard's ever done.
Yep.
And it's, you know, for people talking about, you know, a casual game, this is something that is very much not casual.
Yeah.
The other cool thing in that whole panorama is there's this great bit of Rexxar kind of dangling a orc, I assume some grey orcs, over a fire pit. And it's just cool to think Rexxar's going to feature more in this. And I hope that, you know, through Hearthstone, people are more aware of who Rexxar is, and they're more aware of who Gul'dan is, and that they understand that these are characters. He's a warlock, he's a hunter. And I think it'd be really cool to explore those characters more in the game.
Yeah.
And just seeing all the zones, equally the Skyreach dungeon looks really cool.
Yeah, that looked really neat. Yep.
And these uncorrupted ones and how that's all going to work.
All the rest of that stuff looked okay, all the dungeons, but that one really jumped out. The Grimrail
Depot? Yeah. Like the Grimrail Depot, a train fight, a whole
Yeah, you're on a train.
On a train.
That reminds me of Unreal Tournament. They did that in there.
It's so cool.
Yeah.
That is so cool.
It's pretty neat.
It's like the Deathwing fight on crack.
Yeah.
It's just, that's just amazing. Yeah. And I mean, whoever came up with the idea for that, of having this sort of moving gauntlet and you're running down this train, I just think that's so, I cannot wait for that.
That looked pretty neat. They announced that deal that there will be the special level 90 version of Upper Blackrock Spire for a limited time. So you'll be able to go in there and get level appropriate loot. And then that thing will be pushed to a level 100 later. Yeah. Yeah, it's like a tease. Now, I didn't understand if that was pre-expansion or post.
So, yeah, though. So pre-expansion, there's going to be, they're opening up Ubers, the first half of it, to be available at level 90. So we won't take on Warlord Zekler, or whatever her name is.
Yeah.
The one we killed in, or defeated in Siege of Orgrimmar.
Right.
But we will play through some of that content up towards her. Yeah. And then, as is how I understand it, so everything pinch of salt. But equally, at the same time, we're going to have that first incursion from the Iron Horde coming through the portal. And that's where we, as one of the heroes of the Horde and Alliance, get sent to the Blasted Lands to find out what the heck's going on.
Yeah.
And that will then lead into, once the expansion is released, that suicide quest where we go in, we shut down the Dark Portal, we encounter each of the warlords and kind of get to know them. And then we go to our faction starting zone, establish our garrison, start building our force, level up in strength, level our garrison up in strength, get our army together, and then take the fight to Grom. And I think that's going to be such an exciting, cool.
It's a great storyline to be living on. It really is.
It's going to be good.
Yeah. It's so much more than just here's some stuff, go kill it.
Yeah, but you're building towards a final encounter for the entire time rather than just, you fight this guy, and then now we're going to fight this guy.
And
now
literally,
it's the big bad guy.
And they've always done it kind of like that, like sort of. There's references to, there's a greater thing happening, but we're not there yet. But you're right. In this case, every second of the time you spend from 90 to 100 is all leading to something. And that's if they can integrate that as tightly as it feels like they're going to, that'll be a nice revelation, I think, for this game. For the expansion. Also, this is just a note, the pre-expansion stuff, the event stuff leading up to it will involve the Iron Horde coming through the portal and taking over the Blasted Lands, which is some of what Terpster was talking about, but you'll be able to see that, to interact with that, to deal with that. So it sounds like we will be getting a pre-launch event of some sort. And how pre, we don't know. I mean, the game comes out the Thursday after BlizzCon.
Yeah, which is actually, okay, so let's talk about that real quick.
Yeah.
Are you happy that it's coming out so soon on the heels of BlizzCon, or is it?
No.
I would like a little bit of time.
Yeah, Turf will be on a plane, so his reasons are very selfish.
Here's why I feel a little bit, it's too soon, because I got to take some time off, go to BlizzCon, I get really excited, then you've got your kind of post-BlizzCon settle down moment, and then all of a sudden the game.
Yeah.
And it's going to feel like I'm going to want more time off, and I'm going to want to be able to sit around and just play.
Yeah, and likely, if we all end up with the press passes we usually get, we'll end up being upstairs playing a lot of it anyway, so it's like, well, yeah, no, I kind of agree.
Well, in all fairness, we would already played a lot through the beta.
Yeah.
And I mean,
yeah, that's true.
Yeah, that's... I think that the other reality is that there's, 30,000 people go to BlizzCon?
Yeah.
And then, you know, they've already sold 1.5 million copies of this expansion.
Yeah.
So obviously the percentage of people affected by this are us, the hardcore, Blizzard themselves, and that's about it.
True.
So
that's going to be the height of the excitement. Yeah. So
exactly. And it's going to be great. It's going to be amazing to see, you know, in the first raids, I think we get to face off against Blackhand, you know, the big Iron Smelty guy in the Blackrock Foundry.
Great. That guy's great.
And then I think we face off against Kargath Bladefist as well at Hymal. I think he's in the big Ogre Arena instance. So I think all of those things could be really fun and exciting to kind of face off against. But as with all WoW launches, we won't have raid content for a little while. We'll be leveling up. We'll be trying to race to the cap. But I still don't quite know how I'm going to play it in terms of, you know, am I going to go, heavy into quests, or am I going to try and rush up and try and get into that PvP zone? Ashran sounds so much more exciting.
I really want to get in there, than
you guys, should we make a bet? PvP stuff?
Yeah, let's make
first
a bet.
First to level 100?
Let's make a bet here. I won last time. I'd like to remind everybody. Well.
Wow. That was last time.
Yeah.
If anything, that means that it's less likely you're going to win this time.
I'm going to throw the prediction out.
What should we throw out there? What should the losers have to pay?
Yeah, there is no prediction. We all want to win this. So let's see.
Does this have to happen on US servers?
No.
No.
No. Just
any,
in general.
Any 100.
You show us your 100.
I could, though. I think I might actually. I think I might try and do it on US first.
Okay.
Yeah. I did 90 on US first. And,
how about this, though? Instead of us coming up with it right now, why don't we have people email us ideas or tweet at us?
I like that.
Okay.
And then we'll see who comes up with something good.
Should be.
Yeah, I like that. Dills is on the money there. I think that's a good idea. So
you
we'll
guys let us
goes.
Know what you think the loser should have to pay up to the winner, and we'll race to 100
all right.
when it comes out.
For the race to 100. We'll call it. We'll make an official webpage for it. We'll go crazy.
All right.
Tom Chilton also
Speaking
said...
Race to World First. Yeah. They're doing another one.
It's really? They are.
And we weren't
are they calling it Race to World Second? That's what they really
well,
should
I don't
call
know.
It.
I don't know.
Are they I doing think, another one? How, where'd you read this?
On MMO Champion, they had it up free to watch.
And the one we're in.
It said that they were going to do another one. Yeah.
Oh, well, they were... I'll have to look at that. I talked to the guy that made that film and put us in it. I talked to him all the time. His name is John. And they were working on a big StarCraft thing, which I was in last year.
That.
Maybe that's what they're talking about. Maybe MMO Champion's just unaware. But that's curious. If it is a WoW one, I have not heard that. That'd be that's crazy.
But I think it's because... it's funny because they had it up on there, so I pressed play. And it was just, again, just hearing, like, Deals and me just, like, excited to be here. And it's just thinking, like, oh, man, that conversation never happened.
It was all separate.
It says here, so it was posted up on the 8th of October, of August even, sorry.
Yeah.
And said, the 10th even, sorry, of August. It says, race to world first with the next race coming this fall.
Oh, they just mean the next actual race. They mean the actual race to world first.
It's free to watch. Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
I think they just mean, hey, we're all back into racing for world first again. So to celebrate, they put the film up for free. I think that's all that is.
Oh, okay. Oh, I was hoping they were doing another one.
Yeah, if you guys want to watch that, you should. We had fun doing it. We're sort of in it.
It might be finished now.
It is funny. Some of it is us in the same Skype chat room thing. But some of it isn't. But I don't know if anyone can tell. I mean, we know, but...
Yeah, it seems fairly natural, you know? As natural
something
as
like that.
They told me, they were like, act like you're on the show when you're talking.
Yeah.
So I was trying to, you know... So basically, so they're going to do this. And, like, you know, it was very strange.
Yeah, it was odd. Odd experience, but anyway, it's up for free.
Came out good, though.
Glad you mentioned that. Let's see. Real quick, the collector's editions are up for pre-sale right now. What is in there is this. Warlords of Draenor, of course, on DVD, which you can install from that or your digital copy, whatever. Behind the Scenes DVD and Blu-ray 2-disc set, as always. Collector's Edition soundtrack, Art of Warlords of Draenor, Black Hand mousepad, epic in-game content, which includes, what do we got here? You got the Hatchling Pet and the Dread Raven Mount. Among other things, of course, you get the typical StarCraft portraits, Diablo 3, and the Hearthstone card pack. You know what? I don't know if this is so much a criticism, but it just seems like the CEs are pretty much the same template every time. We're not really getting anything too new in these things.
Yeah, but firstly, if they changed the box, I would go and stab someone at Blizzard because I have the other five.
Yeah,
and if they make it different to the point where my shelf things don't match up. That's a big no-no. It's a collector's edition. It's for collectors.
Yeah.
We want them to be the same.
Yeah.
But, I mean, in terms of in-game content, we're getting a mount and a pet, which is what we've had for the past few. I like that. And it's nice that we're getting Hearthstone card backs as well, because the problem with the season card backs is everyone has them,
yeah,
and the legendary card back is really, really hard to get. So it would be nice to have something that's a little bit different and you can kind of settle on being slightly unique.
Mm-hmm.
I like I said, I personally love the collector's editions. I always think they're great. The behind-the-scenes DVD is worth it alone.
Always good, yeah.
The soundtrack is just brilliant,
also,
and it just lives in my car.
Blu-ray version of the freaking intro is just worth the whole thing. So it's rad. Like, there's a lot.
It's great,
like,
and I think it's one of those things that if you have, I think it's $90, burning a hole in your pocket, it's great.
Yeah.
Otherwise, you could get the game and a bit of game time. That could be a better use of money. But I think it's one of those things, if you love World of Warcraft to the point where you listen to a podcast about it, you're probably the sort of person who's going to buy the collector's edition.
Yeah.
And it's more of the same.
Quick note.
I have been annoyed in the past, yeah, like the mouse pads.
Yeah.
Haven't been that great.
Then okay. A little flimsy.
They just don't feel like they're good mouse pads.
Yeah.
And maybe it's because they're like, no one uses them. They're just a thing.
Yeah.
In which case, should it be in there? Could you put more money and time into making like something else, like a small custom figurine or something else?
I mean, I appreciate a good mouse pad, so I wish they just improve it.
It would be nice. And like they have fantastic hardware partners. Like SteelSeries, I have some SteelSeries World of Warcraft themed mouse pads.
And
they're amazing.
Those guys are great.
But they're not the ones that they put in.
Awesome.
Yeah, yeah.
But they're not the ones they put in the collector's edition.
Yeah.
So that's the only thing. And if it affects the price, then I would say, then, is it worth doing? Can you, do it better?
Yeah.
I don't know.
But I just feel like they found their template and they don't really stray too much from it. Do we have any thoughts on the...
An interesting thing, though, just quickly before we move on from that, is it's being released on a Thursday, which is weird because it's always previously been Tuesdays.
It's always Tuesday,
for
everything.
Yeah. And Chilton said in an interview that Armistice Day is on the Tuesday of the release week, which is why they went with Thursday instead of Tuesday.
Oh,
and I think that's really interesting. Like, Armistice Day, obviously it's 100 years anniversary of World War One this year. And World War Two obviously is, it's commemorated on the 11th of November, which would be the Tuesday.
Right.
And I wonder if Warlords being, Warcraft Warlords on the day is just too,
I think it's two reasons. One, that's a good excuse. Yeah. And two, they're just getting done with BlizzCon and they could use the extra week. That's what I think.
It's a shame, though, they didn't wait a month just so that they could have had 12, 13, 14 as the release date.
Yeah.
I would imagine someone saying, look, guys, it's a month. We get a really cool release date.
Well, somebody else has that, though. Who is it? Someone's barking that like crazy. Maybe Call of Duty or something. Another Activision release. I'm not sure. I think somebody, though, is doing that. Do you guys have any thoughts on these new trolls? What do you think there? I think the ladies look a billion times better, and the males look the same.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, if anything, the males look slightly less pointy, which for me is just a little bit weird. I kind of they're slightly more rounded. And I think, with all the updates, as they've got more polygons, obviously they've been able to create more surfaces that are slightly more organic and more natural.
Yeah.
But I don't know necessarily if they look as good as the old ones. Visually, yes, they're higher quality, but I kind of like the old troll pointy nose. The new one has more of a round schnoz and less of a kind of...
Yeah, they rounded all the edges a little bit, but I don't know. They're fine. It's whatever.
Yeah, no big
deal. You can see the polygon improvements for sure, but at this point I'm getting a little bit... I don't know, maybe I've just seen all of the improvements, so I'm like, yeah, there it is. There it is.
Yep.
The improvement.
Yeah. This is the least drastic of all of them to me. This one just is sort of what it is. The females are a huge improvement, but the males, I mean, maybe that speaks to the males were already pretty cool. So
They didn't really, there was no stylistic change here. It was really just update the shading and the polygons and pretty much that's it.
Yeah. And that's fine. And if we don't, I guess I'm whatever. Yeah, seeing them in action in the beta has been good, and yes, I'm excited about those. But the more I see all this other stuff coming out, zone previews and the cinematic and everything else, the less that is at the forefront of my mind as one of the huge features of the game. It's a big deal, but it's on par with new characters or something. It's kind of like that.
Yeah, we know about all this stuff already, but there's some other stuff. There's like little teeth in the bikini bottoms now for the ladies, and there's
right,
yeah,
and for the men.
And for the men?
Oh, yeah.
I didn't even notice. Yeah. I wasn't looking at the men bikini.
There's a lot of equality going on in the troll society there. Yeah.
There we go.
Okay. All the men are hunched over. All the women are standing up straight. So that's the only difference in their society. Otherwise, equal time for everybody. Weird.
What's up with that? How come the women aren't hunched over?
I don't know. They do that with all the races. The females are much more refined
in that
way.
They have to be slightly more, traditionally attractive.
Yeah, I guess. Because we're all dudes playing this game, and even though there are a ton of women playing this game, the dudes are a bunch of sexist guys who like to look at butts while they run. That's the deal.
I mean, the weird thing, though, is like troll women feet. If you look at their feet, they've got toenails on their heels.
Yeah, they do.
And it's just like, weird. I'm not sure how I feel about
that's
that.
That's a little weird.
Then, yeah.
I don't mean that from an art perspective is fine, but just the idea of a creature.
Yeah, I mean, they've basically got two toes or three toes. That's what I don't know.
Back toe.
I don't know how many toes. Yeah, the back toe.
Back toe. Don't ever get scraped by the back toe. There's real trouble there. All right, it's time to let's do these right here.
Hear ye, hear ye.
Why, it's the Town Crier.
Town Crier today, brought to you by DoghouseSystems.com. Go check them out at DoghouseSystems.com. Get a fantastic new gaming rig before this expansion comes out, and play it the way it was supposed to be played, which is rad and looking awesome. And don't compromise, man. Get the best there is. Use Henry at checkout and get double the memory. Also, check out their Blizzard editions. Those are pretty rad, too. You can always call us 206-202-3969. That's 206-202-3969 to leave us a message. We'll play it on the show. Keep it short and interesting. You can also send us emails at theinstance@gmail.com. Got a couple of calls here. Let's start with this one. Some thoughts on subs.
Hey, guys. This is Vermont from the Emerald Dream server. And I'm just calling in regards to something that was mentioned on a few episodes ago about WoW never being able to reach its peak as it was before at 12 million around Cataclysm. Do you guys maybe think that the subscription model of the game is outdated or can't be used anymore? This is something I've thought of with the influx of all of these new games such as Hearthstone, Heroes of the Storm, and all the different MOBAs coming out that are free to play with different microtransactions. Just love to hear what you think about this. Love the show. All right,
probably
bye.
Canadian there, Hearthstone. Anyway.
Hearthstone.
I mean, this comes up all the time. I don't know that it's outdated. It's just, this game's 10 years old.
Well, this is quite timely because in the UK, and I don't know if it's happening in the US, but they're increasing the subscription cost.
Oh, wow.
So
no, I haven't heard this.
So for 30 days, currently it cost us £8.99. Now it's going to £9.99. And it kind of increases, for 180 days, it previously was £46.14. Now it's £52.14. And
well, it's probably because the dollar's weak against the pound right now. It's probably why.
Well, I think, it's a great way to make money, but at the same time, I think they've said, we regularly look at our pricing around the world, and from time to time, we make changes in light of local and regional market conditions. And it says, as such, we want to give everyone a heads up that we'll be shortly be adjusting the pound sterling subscription price for World of Warcraft. So it says, as a thank you for current World of Warcraft subscribers, we guarantee that players with recurring auto-renewing subscriptions at the time of the price change will retain their current price for 2 years as long as they remain in the same recurring subscription without interruption. So this implies to anyone who's already in or signs up for a recurring subscription prior to the price change. Yeah. So it's basically saying, look, guys, you got to jump on it now and you'll lock it in for 2 years, but you cannot unsub in those 2 years. Otherwise, you're going to cost an extra pound, an extra $15 a year,
sure,
basically, cumulatively.
Sure.
And it's interesting, and it's a really strong statement for Blizzard to make and say, this cost is important to us. It needs to be there, and it needs to be of value, and we need to actually get a certain amount of money per user for it all to work out.
Yeah.
So I think that
if they went free to play, though, I maintain, I'm not saying they should, and I generally agree with you on the value of the game and how this thing's set up as a subscription game makes it more valuable to me. But if they went free to play tomorrow, let's say, I guarantee they'd hit their 12 million again and more.
Yeah, they would, but they wouldn't replace all the money.
Nope.
Yeah, no, exactly. And it's quality over quantity then, is what we're going, we're looking for paying active community members. on a free-to-play game, people log in 5 minutes and then never return. And yeah. and that is your community, is made up of this transient audience.
Yeah, I agree.
And then you look at League of Legends, and League of Legends is fantastic, has a great community, a lot of the other MOBAs, but they're a very different playtime to World of Warcraft yeah. and an MMO.
Yeah.
You know, they're games you play for 45 minutes in a lunch hour, not WoW, where you log in at lunch hour and then you go home and log in for 3 more hours.
Some do, but the vast majority, that you're right, that's not who they are.
But here, okay, so here's yeah. the other thing too, is that the numbers, the 12 million number and all that, the biggest fluctuation, like they've said, has been China, and you know, they don't even use a subscription model. They use paid time, basically. You right. pay for you buy like a card and it has 60 days or whatever, and then you, when it runs out, you got to buy a new card.
Yep.
And it's not even, so there's not a recurring subscription. So the biggest fluctuation has been a country that doesn't even use the subscription model in the first place.
Sure.
So is the subscription model the problem, or is it just that, you know, it's just natural ebb and flow of a game and how many people are going to play it?
Natural ebb and flow would be my vote.
I don't think that changing, and honestly, like you say, okay, if they go free to play, they would probably jump up to, you know, heights they've never seen before as far as total players playing at any given time.
Yeah.
But then how do you even count players at that point? Like, when's the last time they logged in? Are they, you know, you can count subscribers at this point, but if you are free to play, so if a guy logged in one time and just messed about and then left, wow, I said messed about there. Terps are rubbed off on me. So no, but you know, like if how do you count them, and are they legit numbers? You know, they wouldn't really be anymore. So even if they did get to 15 million, you wouldn't really even be able to say these are actually 15 million people playing the game consistently.
Yeah,
like you can
true.
Say right now, the way the subscription works.
It's totally true. Yep. I don't know. So, it's a weird deal. I just don't, you don't get back to your heyday with a game that's 10 years old unless you, I don't know what you do. I just don't see them ever getting there with subscription. And if they did free to play, they wouldn't make the money they make with subscription, and they may hit those numbers again. But if that's all your goal is, then what do you, you know, what's the point?
It's like 13 or 12 bucks average per person who's subscribed, you know, because of the people who do the 6 month and all that.
Yeah.
And you're talking replacing currently 6 point whatever million, 6.5 or 6.8 or whatever it is. Talking about replacing that amount each month with microtransactions, and that is not going
to
happen.
Very curious to see where these people, you know, there's got to be data that is either predictable data or actual data that says when, you know, 6 million people have left the game, where did they go? Did they stop playing video games? Did they grow out of it? Are they 30 and have kids and cars and houses and they can't play anymore? Are they playing other MMOs? Is it some combination of that? And where did the percentages land? I'd be very curious about that.
Not to be morbid, but some of them are not alive anymore.
Some of them have died. Yeah. Some have moved on. But that was really morbid.
That was really morbid.
Well, I mean, you know, it's just the reality.
But that is. And I think it's going to be something that Blizzard thinks about.
Yeah.
But ultimately, I think the most sensible answer to them is just to keep doing what they were doing, which is, you know, creating fun, innovative gameplay experiences. And I think that's what they need to keep going. And I think that so much of what we've seen kind of calls back to the glory days.
Right.
And it's like, you know, yeah, you played Warcraft 3 like everyone who loved World of Warcraft at the beginning had done. Well, come back to World of Warcraft because it's more Warcraft 3 stuff.
Yeah.
You know, if you played WoW back at the beginning, you know, we've got the anniversary stuff coming up. You know, we've got Molten Core. We've got a 200-man PvP, you know, Tauren versus South Shore battles. You know, this is all amazing, crazy stuff. So I think people are going to really enjoy it.
Yeah, that's the
but it's just them knowing about it and them being encouraged to return if they're in a position in which they can.
I got a thing here a guy accuses Terpster of, and we held it over from last week, and it's about whether or not Terpster spoiled something or not.
Uh-oh.
Okay.
So here it is.
Hey, this is Levix. I play Paladin on Kill Jaden. And I just want to personally thank Terpster for ruining the book War Crimes for me. I'm about halfway through it. Blew my freaking mind. Thanks. Please don't do that. Later.
I'm very sorry. Very sorry.
It's so funny at the end.
It's that's fair enough. I'll appreciate that. I'm sorry.
Sure.
I got very excited. I could have been more vague, but I just, you know, I loved it. In my defense, it has been out a long time.
I'm gonna defend you right now, T, and I'm gonna say, yeah, it's been out a long time. You're listening to a podcast about World of Warcraft. Is Terpster the one spoiling this, or did you spoil it by going out and seeking out World of Warcraft content?
May not contain spoilers.
We could have made it clear. And I apologize because I love that book. I think it's great. I think you should finish reading it.
Yeah.
And let me know if your interpretation of anything changes from what I said.
Yeah.
He didn't tell you about the steamy sex scene at the end.
Right.
So.
Between Anduin and Bane, right?
Yep. There's some pretty steamy stuff that happens.
Well, it's because Taurens are sweaty and hot. They get extra layers of fur and stuff.
It's
not because it's hot like sexy hot. It's because they're freaking hot.
Yeah. Like it's actually when they make love.
They're warm. We got an email here, and this one kind of takes us to task as well, or maybe Blizzard to task. It says, this is from Chris, Norrin Rad on the Realm Magtheridon, who, by the way, everybody got confused with Manoroth yesterday. There's a lot of that going on Twitter. Anyway, good evening, fellas, he says. Yes, this was a beautiful cinematic. Yes, I play Alliance. Yes, I think Blizzard loves the Horde. Yes, as per this email subject, I think World of Warcraft is becoming too Horde-centric. I don't think this is an outrageous claim. Please give me your opinion on this. Best regards, Chris. We've kind of talked about it today, but I'm a giant Horde fan. I have always been a Horde fan, and I will die a Horde fan, but I think they kind of have a point, a little bit of a point that I don't mean that it's Blizzard screwing you. It's that the interesting bits on the periphery of the story are happening with lots of Horde stuff. I think that's just what it comes down to. And they're going to write to what's interesting. I don't blame Metzen or anybody else for doing that. That's what you do as a writer. You're not going to spend all your time with stuff that's not interesting. And I'm not saying that all the things happening with the Alliance are not interesting. But right now, they have established a universe where the interest is in the Horde side of things, the orky, savagey side of the world.
Yeah, but I gotta point out though that Arthas did not come from the Horde side, and that was pretty much the biggest story that we've ever had.
Right, and even his undead weren't forsaken. You're dealing with exactly. There are moments like even the whole Dragonflight stuff. The problem people had with that, not Dragonflight, but with the Cataclysm, was that it was still very thrall-centric. Lots of thrall being the point of story. And that's where they're having trouble. It's not like you're getting, everyone gets their models updated for the in-game cinematics, except for freaking the leader of the Alliance with his big, dumb-looking scar. Although in this latest thing, he looked really good. But previous to this, like the Garrosh death bit, or not death, but your defeat of Garrosh, he just looks ridiculously bad compared to all these other awesome models. I just think it's not unreasonable to accept the fact that, yes, there appears to be a Horde bias when it comes to the creative side of the game. And I don't think it's a bad thing. I think it's just what it is, getting all taken sides on it.
If they concern themselves only with absolute fairness between Horde and Alliance and how much involvement does each side have in the storyline, then they do themselves a disservice by not just allowing them to freely create and put out content.
Make what they're going to make. Exactly. It's exactly how I feel. This is why I side with George R. R. Martin on everybody saying he needs to write more gay characters and gay sex scenes into his books. And he said, no. I'm writing what I want to write.
I'm just going to write a damn book.
I'm writing a book.
It is.
I'm all for gay rights, but gay rights does not include you telling George R. R. Martin how to jam more stuff in there any more than it does me telling you how to, I don't know, telling Martha Stewart how much sugar to put in her cookies. Just do what you're going to do. And they're going to do what they're going to do.
There becomes a certain time where if you're spending all your time worrying about this stuff, then basically you're missing out on opportunities to just be creative and let it flow. And I feel like what they're doing is they're being creative and they're letting it flow and they're finding like what is actually getting the juices going when you're talking about stuff, what storylines are popping out as the ones that you want to pursue. And that's just how it's working out. And honestly, too, talking about things like the motorcycles, the bikes and all that.
Yeah, that whole thing.
Oh, my God, the Alliance. Well, Alliance, rock the vote, man. Get out there. You guys got to bring it. The Horde players are bringing it. The Alliance needs to bring it. You can't blame anybody but yourself on that kind of stuff.
No trophies for everyone.
I have Alliance characters. I started as Alliance. I play Horde now, yes. I don't hate the Alliance. Well, I do, but I don't hate the Alliance in a, you know, in a general sense.
Yeah.
I think that they're fine, and I think that there's very interesting stories to be had there, and they will eventually come out, and that will be great. And at that point, I'm not going to sit there and bitch and moan about how it's Alliance centric. It's just in vanilla, I didn't bitch and moan about it, and it was, and it's just whatever. It's the ebb and flow of this game. There's two sides. Yep. They're not all going to work.
Yep. Agreed.
Makes sense.
It does make sense. We got one last bit here, and here it is.
The drop of the week.
So Robin Williams, the famed actor and comedian, died last week. Was it now? No, this week. Sorry, it was Tuesday or this Monday.
Yeah,
really recent. Yeah.
He was an avid gamer and an avid World of Warcraft player. He was known for this. Talked about the game a lot, especially in its early goings. Was a big fan. Named his daughter after Princess Zelda in the Legend of Zelda series. Kind of a big proponent of video games from a guy who's pretty high up in a successful Hollywood type. And after he died earlier this week, it is well known. He was well known for his offbeat characters, devotion to onstage, screen, and TV, says this article on NPR. He was also known as an obsessive fan and shameless advocate for video games. Among the games he played was World of Warcraft. And upon the news of his death, fans began to petition the game's creators, Blizzard Entertainment, to memorialize him in the game. The petition grew, and when asked on Twitter, World of Warcraft technical game designer Chad Nervig said, "Yes, we're taking care of it." They'll do something. There'll be some sort of immortalization, thing in there, an NPC or a, who knows, memorial or something. Clearly the dude had an impact on a lot of people. If you grew up at all with his movies or his comedy or his TV or anything, it'd be nice to see this. So
yeah, this is cool. I actually have a Robin Williams story. No. When I was a kid,
cool.
I went to school with Bobby McFerrin's kids, and, Bobby McFerrin and Robin Williams were really close, and, yeah. We were at a Halloween party, and I was there just hanging out, and there was a guy, and I remember very clearly at the time thinking, this guy is hilarious, and he was wearing a ninja costume, and he had his face covered the whole time, and he was just hanging out and having a blast, and he hung out with the kids, he was hanging out with the parents, he was just being awesome, and it was very vivid. I was very little at the time. I think I was maybe like 6 or 7 years old, but very vivid how fun this guy, he was playing with us, chasing us around, and at the end of the party he has to leave. He pulls off the mask and it's Robin Williams, and he just says, "All right guys, great hanging out with everybody. I'll see you guys, see you guys later," and just takes off.
Yeah.
And nobody knew it was him the whole time.
That was Robin was Williams the whole time.
It was just this hilarious ninja running around the party.
Yeah. Bitch about all those Robin Williams films.
Wow. I mean, he's kind of known for stuff like that, you know?
It was epic. Yeah. Yeah. And it's funny because living in San Francisco, he is a Bay Area guy, grew up here and stayed here, even when he was, a big actor in LA and everything. So he's like a San Francisco legend as well. Yeah, and I don't think I have a single friend who hadn't had some interaction with him at some point in their life. Like, he just was there. He was out there. And everybody ran into
him. Marin County area?
He originally lived in Sea Heights in San Francisco.
Yeah.
But he had recently moved out to Marin, which people do when they,
get the hell out of the city, sure.
Yeah, you got to get out of the city a little bit. But anyway, it's very sad for people who live here. It was just such a common thing for people to run into him and have him kind of bless their lives with a little fun moment.
Yeah.
And that's just kind of what he did.
It was just a
joy for everybody. And it was super sad, and affected my city in quite a dramatic way. Everybody was really, really upset the next day.
Yeah.
And normally celebrity deaths don't really do much for me. I'm somewhat sad, but
sure.
This one was very affecting and really sucked.
Yeah. Bad one this time around. And the whole circumstances behind it and all that stuff just made it hard.
Yeah.
He was big in Europe too. Yeah. Like, huge over there in the UK.
Massive. I mean, he's just,
it's not like one of those things where it's like, oh, Steve Coogan, we kind of know him here, but he's huge in Europe. But he was like everywhere.
Yeah. Yeah, of course. I mean, he was a
no offense
star,
to Steve Coogan, by the way. Steve Coogan's great.
No, exactly. But I think when you look at, if you look at how for generations, he hit everyone, he did the Disney films. He did, the fun Mrs. Doubtfires,
right.
But then equally, did fantastic performances. I watched The Butler the other night.
Oh, right, he plays Eisenhower in that.
Yeah, exactly. And it's just like he obviously Good Will Hunting, everyone talks about,
Fisher King is still one of the greatest films I ever saw in my life.
He had such range and versatility, and I think that's fantastic to see. And I think it's great that he's being remembered so fondly, and I think that's the greatest testament to the man, is just how happily he will be remembered by so many.
Yeah.
And I think that's, if there's one thing we can all hope for, it's that.
He would have been fun with. Yeah. That would have been good.
Exactly.
Just imagine just that TeamSpeak or mumble.
On vent, you'd just be like him going away. You'd feel like you were raiding with 80 other people, right, purely from all the voices and craziness.
Yeah, he's awesome and will be missed. And I'm super stoked that WoW and Blizzard sees the impact and are willing to do something cool. So there's that, and there's our show, everybody. Thanks for being here. A little longer today, but I knew it would be. There's so much cool stuff to chew on this week.
Deservedly so.
Hell of a show.
I mean, if someone wants to do a super cut where you cut out all the irrelevant stuff we talk about, it'd probably be about normal length.
Yeah, exactly.
But it's all gold.
10 minutes. 10 minutes is all it'd be.
Yeah.
Dills, what's going on, man? You got Angry Chicken. What else? What are we doing here?
Well, I have a little bit of sad news first, is that I have to step down from Into the Nexus, which was a Heroes of the Storm podcast. And people on Twitter were saying stuff like, I hope things get better for you. It's not because there's some big crazy thing going on in my life.
That's what Twitter does, yeah.
Yeah, no. There's not like some crazy sad thing that happened. It's just basically I do too many shows, and I also have quit captaining pool teams and a couple other things that I'd just taken on in my life, and it was just becoming a little too much.
Yeah.
You work a full-time job. You know, not all of us are Scott Johnson's strength, where we can just do everything all the time.
Or as crazy as me, I guess.
Yeah. So, I mean, Scott's like adding shows, but no, it just got to a point where I had to make some decisions. And basically, the only reason was Into the Nexus was the newest show on my roster.
Yeah.
So it was just the one that I had to cut. So not leaving TAC, not leaving Instance, not leaving TortureCast, all that stuff's still happening.
Sure.
But, it's sad. I want everyone to go check that show out, though. Garrett and Kyle are still going to be doing it.
Yeah.
It's still going to be great. And that game is still going to be huge when it finally actually hits.
Yeah.
But then I also want to, I want to point something out, and if anybody feels like they want to support something that's really cool, there's a guy who he lives in Australia, and we have an MGA chapter out there.
Yeah,
and one of their friends had an accident when he was 24 years old and broke his neck, and is now a quadriplegic.
Ugh.
And they had a great idea. He was always like a sporting type of guy, and they had a great idea out there, and they actually talked to some doctors, and they found out that they can build this rig that will allow him to play golf, and he'll be able to play on the NGA tour.
Wow.
And actually the rig they're going to be building for him is like the first of its kind. So once this first one is built, this will actually open up opportunities for other people to have one of these things for less money than this original one.
Yeah.
But basically there's a GoFundMe and they're trying to raise 12K. We've gotten to 4K so far, and a bunch of people from the MGA have donated. Like, we go out and play a round of golf and donate $1 per every stroke we shoot and things like that. But any little bit helps. So if anybody out there feels like this is something they'd be interested in helping out, I encourage you to go check it out. It's go to GoFundMe.com and just search for Benny Wise. The URL is actually kind of complicated, so I'm not going to give that. But
Wise, W-I-S-E? Search Benny Wise.
Yeah, so Benny Wise, all one word. That's kind of his nickname.
Okay.
And yeah, he's a cool guy. He wants to play golf. He wants to be a quadriplegic and play some golf.
That's
and
awesome.
I think
that's
that
awesome.
Would be fantastic if we could make that happen.
Yeah,
so
totally cool.
One third of the way there. So no matter what it is, $1, $2, whatever.
All right.
Doesn't matter.
Well, details on that and all kinds of other stuff, just follow Dills at Willie Dills on Twitter. He'll keep you informed. And links and all that stuff will probably be easy to click there as well. Terps, or anything going on you want to... You just got back from your trip. You probably haven't settled in yet.
Yeah, so back from the trip. Well, yeah, we've got the new Hearthstone videos coming out on Yogscast. Check out. So that's our Max Challenge stuff.
Yeah.
And it features basically one of our guys is Michael Jackson from Thriller.
Oh my gosh.
So yeah, it's worth watching. But yeah, otherwise, I'm off to Insomnia next weekend. So I probably won't be around for the show next week, but I'm going to try and see if I can find like a quiet corner.
It's like a gaming convention or something.
So it's a PC gaming convention held in like the Midlands of England, and it should be really fun. So if you're in the UK, make sure you Google I-52 and come along and say hi.
Yeah.
That's going to be good fun. And I expect things to be suitably manic up until that point.
Yeah. Oh, so, speaking of Insomnia, that's also another really good Robin Williams movie with Al Pacino.
Oh fantastic. Yeah, that was so good. Yeah. And that was one of his kind of
dark, man.
Real defining,
that was, the one-hour photo and Insomnia.
Yeah, he had a string of films there that was just like, woo, these are rough, some of these. But yeah, anyway, worth seeing. Christopher Nolan movie too, which people forget he did that. Awesome. With all
the
that stuff.
The Dead Poets Society will always be.
Oh, it's about Captain My Captain, dude.
Yeah.
That's amazing. Yeah. Hell of a thing. My favorite is Fisher King, and I also have a real soft spot for The Birdcage, if anybody wants to see. And that's streaming right now.
Yeah.
It's so
funny. Yeah, Birdcage is good fun. Yeah.
So freaking funny. And and it's a role where he gets to like not be center stage all the time. He gives Nathan Lane all kinds of room to do what Nathan Lane does. That's a hell of a movie.
Yeah, that movie was so funny because that movie was kind of a big deal here too.
Yeah.
In San Francisco.
I bet. Yeah.
Oh my God, I love that movie.
It was so good. It's on streaming, so people should watch it. That's going to do it for us. Thank you, Matthew Oxley, for our theme music. Leave your reviews on iTunes for the show or wherever podcasts are distributed. Paul Swicker does our show notes and website stuff. Big thanks to him. Forum show notes and archives and more at theinstance.net. You can find us on Twitter at Instance Show, Terpster at _T, Dills at Willie Dills, and me at Scott Johnson. You can find us on Facebook and all over the damn place. Just search for us. It's going to do it for us. We'll be back with more WoW stuff next time. Everybody within the sound of my voice, take care.
We will never be slaves!
'll
have what Buxley's having. Welcome to Buxley's Journal.
I'd like to thank Fizzbarks House of Gadgets for being a sponsor on the show. Fizzbarks has all your World of Warcraft needs. Have you ever cast a spell only to realize you're 50,000 feet up in the air? Well, they have parachutes. Not shooting straight because monsters come up and bash your gun when you're trying to kill them. They can adjust your rifle sights. Totems not sending out as much fire as they used to. They can fix that too. Fizzbarks has the finest craftsmen in all of Azeroth working around the clock to make sure you're well equipped. This week's special is on Fizzbarks Speech Translator. Why only get mad at what people on your own faction are saying when you can be mad at people in both factions at once? That's where Fizzbarks Speech Translator can help you. Someone saying something like this gets translated into,
"I say, old chum, I dare say you've killed some of my colleagues. I think I shall have to attack you."
Imagine what that can do for you. Fizzbarks Speech Translator is exclusively available at Fizzbarks House of Gadgets.
Ha ha! Fizzbarks, they've got what you need!
If you'd like to see what I'm up to, follow Ask Buxley on Twitter.
Welcome, this is Deterin with another edition of Ask a Magus. This week's question is, why is there a bitter rivalry between mages and warlocks? The full history would take much too long for the 1 minute 30 seconds allotted to this segment, but this rivalry has a long storied history. Who shot first? Few know that answer. Hint, it's warlocks. Many things don't help this rivalry. Warriors have often been unable to distinguish the difference between us, made more confusing by the pure amount of corpses warlocks tend to wear, and that whole emo thing they have. Seriously, we were done with emo when Spider Druid 3 had that song and dance sequence. Primarily, I can't get along with warlocks because they stink, and I'm undead. I was finally able to trace their stench to the fact that they often burn souls. I mean, how the heck do you do that? Souls aren't even corporeal. How can you burn something like that? Anyway, the rivalry between mages and warlocks has many reasons behind it, so much so that books are written on the topic. I suggest you look one of those up and give it a good read, except the ones from warlocks, because you know they would lie through what teeth they have left. Send your questions to AskAmagus on Twitter.
Thrumka, and welcome to Ask Miss Mulgra.
your source on matters of etiquette in Azeroth. Today's question is a clarification that last week's question about expansions did not mean my girth is expanding. That is not a question. It is a statement. My show is not called State Miss Mulgra. It is called Ask Miss Mulgra. The question asker is supposed to ask a question, and I will answer it. Who said anyone was allowed to submit clarifications anyway? Is this some trick the producer is up to? Am I being punked? Oh, wait a minute. Did Harrison Jones put you up to this? He can be a real stinker when he is searching for the mystical Lost Tier armor set. I will bet that this boondoggle is all his idea to distract me from telling everyone all about armor, and that there never was any question in the first place. So, if there is no question, I guess you can all go home early. Ah, but you should stop along the way and buy a big ice cream cone. I am Miss Mulgra, and that is my advice. Akamagosh! Follow at Miss Mulgra on Twitter, or listen to previous episodes at missmulgra.com.
This podcast is part of the Frog Pants Studios Network. For more information about this and other shows, visit frogpants.com. Audio program so good, it's like you're there.